It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. When you get outside this year, do you hear that annoying buzzing sound around your ears more often than usual? Maybe you're feeling a little itchier than usual from mosquito bites. With above average rain this year, Wisconsin can feel like a mosquito paradise.
If you're seeing a big mosquito year or not so much, let us know about it. You can always email us, wisconsintoday@wpr.org.
To get a handle on this year's mosquito season, we're going west of the border to Minnesota. They have mosquitoes, same as us, but they have something we don't have, an official mosquito control agency that covers the most populated part of the state.
Minnesota's Metropolitan Mosquito Control District has been reporting mosquito data and controlling their population in the region for nearly 70 years.
Daniel Huff is executive director of the Mosquito Control District. Daniel, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, no secret, it's been a big year for rainfall in Wisconsin, I imagine over there in Minnesota too, especially compared to last year. I tend to think wet year, more mosquitoes. Has it panned out that way this year?
Oh, yes. Now, we have benefited somewhat from 3 years of drought in that our summer mosquito populations are not as bad as they could be. I know sometimes it doesn't feel that way. But our summer mosquitoes are actually lower than our 10-year average right now.
Can you talk a little bit about the life cycle of the mosquito and how drought versus wet year affects the breeding of mosquitoes and, I guess, the population of mosquitoes?
Yeah. Well, first, there's different types of mosquitoes that come around different parts of the year. So in the spring, we have what are called the snowmelt mosquitoes. Obviously, they come out when the snow melts. Those were really bad this year. And they were really bad because last year we had a lot of snow, a lot of snow melt, a lot of mosquitoes who then laid a lot of eggs. So every time you get bit by a female mosquito, they're biting you so that they can go lay a bunch of eggs. They use that blood to nourish their young that they're creating. So we had a lot of bad mosquitoes this spring. Now, those spring mosquitoes kind of live all year until they get eaten or, you know, damaged in some way. Then you have your summer mosquitoes, and those start around May or June up in Minnesota and Wisconsin, and they will have many, many broods. So every time it rains an inch or more, they are out there biting you and then laying eggs. Now they don't live as long, but they keep reproducing all summer long. And then you have your cattail mosquitoes. They come out really bad around July 4th. Great time for our July 4th picnics. They are the most aggressive biters that we have up here in the upper Midwest. And they actually live over winter. And then we have mosquitoes that are kind of just around all the time. And unfortunately, some of those mosquitoes, we call them Culex, are those that also carry West Nile virus. As you know, mosquitoes are a particular concern as a vector of disease.
We'll dig into disease more in a few moments, but something you said made me think climate change. We're worried about earlier thaws and later frosts. Is that extending the breeding season for any of those mosquito varieties you were just talking about?
Absolutely. It's extending the range. So we're getting mosquito species that we don't normally get up here in the upper Midwest. One of the beautiful side effects of our harsh winters is they kill off a lot of mosquitoes that you might have down south. But as those winter changes, we risk having mosquitoes move up here and stay, being able to survive our winters. When you have a shorter winter and a longer warm spell, you're going to have more mosquitoes. Mosquitoes need two things to reproduce. They need water and they need warm temperatures. And the longer the summer, the more mosquitoes we're going to have.
Now, you mentioned West Nile. A lot of us, I think, in the public, Daniel, will think of mosquitoes as, you know, a nuisance. We don't want to get bit. We don't want the itches. You're worried about public health here. What are some of the concerns we have about mosquito season when it comes to communicable diseases?
Yeah, Rob. Well, that's a great question. And, you know, the Metropolitan Mosquito Control District is at its heart a public health agency. Now, we like to make people's summers better and more enjoyable, but our primary function is to prevent the spread of disease that are caused by mosquitoes. I think we all know that, you know, in many parts of the world, mosquitoes carry malaria. You may have seen the statistic that mosquitoes are the most dangerous animal in the world. They kill more humans than any other animal, including other humans. And it's because they carry disease. Now, in Minnesota and Wisconsin, we worry about West Nile virus. That's actually a disease that is carried by birds, but then mosquitoes transfer it from birds to us. We're also worried about La Crosse encephalitis, especially in children. This can be highly dangerous and deadly to children. Encephalitis is, means that it's attacking the brain. We have Jamestown Canyon virus. We have equine, eastern equine encephalitis that kills horses as well as can kill people. These are all diseases that are spread by mosquitoes. So we at MMCD, or the Metropolitan Mosquito Control District, we monitor and do surveillance on mosquitoes as well as disease. And then we really target that to control those mosquitoes to prevent the spread of those diseases.
Can we target mosquito controls to, this species of mosquito carries, say, West Nile, so we're going to focus on them? Can we be that fine-tuned?
Well, we can by looking at their habitat. So just like every other animal, different species of mosquitoes live in different habitats. The mosquitoes that carry West Nile, they like mucky, kind of gross water. So anywhere you have water that is stagnant and has a lot of organic material, you're going to have these Culex mosquitoes. An area that we focus on are catch basins. So these are storm drains that you have in the street, but they're the ones that have the water in a sump that keeps the water in there. And we make sure that we treat those once a month to make sure that we're really suppressing those mosquitoes that carry West Nile. The mosquitoes that carry La Crosse encephalitis, they like to live in little containers. And they don't fly very far. Some mosquitoes can fly 5 miles. These that carry La Crosse, they only travel maybe 500 feet or so. So they're going to be in your yard breeding in that old tarp you got in the back that has a pool of water in it, an old bucket, maybe a stopped up rain gutter. So that we want people to control by removing those habitats of those little pools of water.
Looking to the future, now you mentioned malaria, not currently a worry in the Midwestern United States. People may remember the big worries about Zika virus some years back. Again, not currently being transmitted, I don't think, anywhere in the United States. Do you have concerns that down the road, with cumulative years of climate change, mosquitoes might move north, mosquitoes that can carry some of those diseases right now we only read about in, you know, foreign news headlines?
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest risk to us with climate change around mosquito-borne diseases. We're already seeing that in California and Florida and Texas. We have cases of dengue, also known as breakbones fever, because it feels that bad. We are concerned. We have actually the mosquito that can transmit malaria actually does live in Minnesota and Wisconsin. But we just don't have any people or have very few people that are infected with malaria for those mosquitoes to bite and then transfer to someone else. But as some of these southern mosquitoes are allowed to live as our winters warm up, we are concerned that those diseases will migrate with them, dengue, Zika, malaria, et cetera.
Daniel Huff is with us, Executive Director of Minnesota's Metropolitan Mosquito Control District. We're talking about mosquito season this year and in the future. Daniel, you know, we do mosquito research here in Wisconsin through the University, Department of Health Services, and so on. We don't have this thing, a Metropolitan Mosquito Control District sort of thing, where there's a coordinated effort like this. Tell us a little bit about this outfit.
Yeah, well, The Minnesota legislature in 1958 set forth that we were going to have a seven county independent unit of government whose sole purpose was to track and control mosquitoes. And we're very fortunate to have that. So the seven county metro area, that's Minneapolis and St. Paul, it's about 3,000 miles. So that's about two Rhode Islands. And by focusing in this large area, we're able to control and suppress mosquitoes in the whole region. You know, as I said earlier, mosquitoes can fly about 5 miles, and just treating one little area doesn't mean that you're protecting the people who live in that little area. So we're fortunate in Minnesota. We have this independent governmental unit with our sole function is tracking and treating mosquitoes. We track ticks. We also control black flies or biting gnats.
You mentioned treatment. What kind of things do you do to treat waters in particular to help lower those mosquito numbers?
Yeah, well, first of all, when people, you know, think about like pesticides, we really worry about how is it impacting other insects, bees, butterflies, dragonflies. We are very conservation and environmentally focused here at MMCD. So what we do for our treatment is we do larval treatment. We get the little guys when they are still larvae in the water. We use particular substances like a bacteria that only targets mosquitoes and very closely related species. So it leaves dragonflies and caddisflies and everything else completely alone. So what we do is we target those mosquitoes that are larvae. Now, larvae, it means you got about 5 to 7 days before they hatch, so we have to move quickly. But by doing that, we eliminate the risk to all those other wonderful insects like pollinators.
I know another concern about spraying is that spraying for mosquitoes, a lot of times you got a new pesticide. It works great in year one, pretty good in year two. Pretty soon evolution catches up with you. Mosquito numbers start to bounce back up. Do you see similar problems with the ways you treat these larvae? Are you in this evolutionary arms race here?
Yeah, that is a great question. So the good news about the bacteria that we use, this soil bacteria called BTI, it actually has a number of different strains of the bacteria. So we're feeling pretty confident and we've not seen any resistance to that treatment. We do have some other treatments. One is called methoprene, and that is a synthetic hormone that basically makes the mosquitoes never grow up. They just stay as a larva. There have been studies, for example, in Chicago that have shown resistance building. So we make sure that we rotate the various types of materials that we use because we do not want a mosquito to develop a resistance to any of these treatment options.
I know we humans aren't nuts about mosquitoes. They bite us. They spread disease. Some animals eat them. How much do we rely on mosquitoes in the food chain?
Yeah, that is a great question. So one of the things to remember about mosquitoes is they're really small. So a lot of birds and bats are actually going to go for larger prey. You know, a moth, that's like a Big Mac. And a mosquito is like maybe a bit of a French fry. So they are not as important, say, for some of your larger vertebrate species, but they are important part of the food web. You know, they take a lot of biomass from the water and put it back into the sort of terrestrial ecosystem, if you will.
The model you have there as a state-run agency tackling mosquitoes, is this something you evangelize about to states like Wisconsin that don't have a similar effort, or do you see, you know, different bureaucratic models maybe working just as well?
Well, we're really fortunate in Minnesota in that we have we're the largest multi-county district in the country. By serving such a large area, we are able to be very efficient in our use of resources. We have a large tax base to draw from. Our average taxpayer here in the metro area pays about $10.80 a year. So about the can, what is that, price of a can of repellent. And we're able to treat the entire region. So it's a great model, I think. It works well for Minnesota. I'm obviously not going to tell Wisconsin what to do here, but I will tell you it works well for us.
For people wondering, hey, are there things I can do, you know, in my own yard to help with mosquitoes? What kind of advice do you have for them?
Yeah. First of all, get rid of your breeding habitat. You know, that old tarp, that old bucket. Mosquitoes are amazing in they can grow. I've seen a picture of mosquito larva in a Coca-Cola bottle cap. They don't need a lot of water to grow. So eliminate those sources of water. Do what you can to help promote other beneficial insects, other beneficial vertebrates, you know, birds and bats, while they're not major consumers of mosquitoes, will consume them. So those are some of the things that you can do. It's really about reducing habitat, reducing those little puddles of water that might collect in your yard.
Getting back to those diseases you mentioned, I wonder how you monitor for those. Because, you know, I'm not going to call you and tell you every time I got bit by a mosquito. I'm sure you don't want me to either. But how do you spot when a West Nile or the La Crosse encephalopathy or other diseases start popping up? Encephalitis, I'm sorry, not encephalopathy.
A good question again. So we work closely with the Minnesota Department of Health. And if they have a human case, they let us know where they are so that we can focus, especially, as I mentioned, La Crosse encephalitis, very targeted, usually in just a couple of yards away from somebody. So we can go and investigate, treat that area. We also have our own network where we catch, we actually test the mosquitoes for disease, especially for West Nile virus. So we know where in the district West Nile is currently being found in infected mosquitoes through this surveillance network that we do in our own laboratory.
Daniel, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, and I hope that you have a wonderful summer with as few bites as possible.
You too. Thanks.
Daniel Huff is executive director of Minnesota's Metropolitan Mosquito Control District. He talked to us about how our neighbors to the west handle their mosquitoes.
Earlier this week, we talked about live music in Wisconsin with Peter Jest, music promoter and owner of Shank Hall in Milwaukee. And we asked for your favorite live show of all time.
Lynn emailed, "Hi, the most amazing show I ever attended was at Shank Hall, perhaps late 90s, when Peter brought Buena Vista Social Club to Shank Hall. There were 13 people on stage. I was up near the front row. Older guys, including many all-stars on the stage. Sounds awesome, Lynn. Thanks. Keep sharing your best live music show memories. You can email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.